got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Being a new parent, I've got a four-month-old son named Jack.
Yep.
He's a pretty happy baby, you know, holds his head up, smiles, farts, all the things.
Very emotive baby.
Oh, a lot of feelings.
He has a lot of feelings.
A lot of feelings that he likes to communicate. And yesterday I got to go to like a parents group with my wife.
Cute.
I haven't been able to go because they've been happening while we're doing the radio show, so that's a bit of a shame. But yesterday I did it at one of the libraries in town. And it was like, hey, this is a service that the libraries offer all across Geelong, and I think all across the country. 3 times a week, there's baby nursery rhyme time. And it's like a 20-minute thing you can go to at the library for free.
Yeah.
And they just sing some nursery rhymes. You get like a
cute
little rattle, like a little like cloth handkerchief thing that's like fun to feel. And because apparently nursery rhymes are like really good for helping develop babies like learning how to speak. It's like a very familiar song that they work for a reason, I guess.
Well, obviously, and there would be a lot of nursery rhymes that we grew up with as kids, too.
For sure,
I'm assuming they carry on.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there with my son, Jack. He's 4 months old, and he's, again, at 4 months old, he's just like, I'm happy to be around.
Yeah.
What's going on? I either want to be asleep or I want to be awake.
The other day, I entertained him for about 15 minutes with just holding my keys.
And honestly, it was one of the best things I've ever seen. Top-notch stuff there. But, singing nursery rhymes, we do it in swimming as well, like getting them used to the water so that like you're singing comfortable songs while you're putting them in an uncomfortable environment, I guess. And one of our favourite songs has been Galoomph, the Little Green Frog.
Oh, great one.
I've got
classic
it here.
Classic play school one.
Galoomph went the little green frog one day. Galoomph went the little green frog.
And you know, like whether it's swimming or at the library, there's like, you're bouncing around in the water, not like a basketball, but you know what I mean. Like, you're going, doing this, and you're singing this. And this one in particular has just been stuck in my head. If I'm doing the dishes, Galoomph, if I'm like changing oil in the car, Galoomph the little green frog. It can't leave my brain. And yesterday during nursery rhyme time, something happened, and I became the worst version of myself. So they're like, all right, everybody, we're going to sing Da Galoomph, the little green frog. And I was like,
come again?
This poor woman's misspoke. This silly little sausage is misspoke. And then, because they have lyrics up on the screen so everyone can sing along because there's a whole bunch of people there with their babies. And then this started playing.
Da Galoomph went the little green frog one day. Da Galoomph
so
went
aggressive.
The little green frog.
Now,
Da Galoomph.
I thought, I've never heard Da Galoomph.
Galoomph. Literally never heard Da Galoomph.
Galoomph, sure.
Yeah.
Da Galoomph, da no. That's da wrong. And I made a...
This version sounds scary.
Yeah. I made a big point. So everyone's singing because they're reading the lyrics and they're going Da Galoomph. And I'm going, Galoomph.
You would have sounded insane.
Galoomph. Because then they don't go Da Galoomph, Da Galoomph, Da Galoomph.
Yeah.
They go Galoomph, Galoomph, Galoomph. It's not fun to say either way, but it's, you know... And I'm trying to keep my cool. I'm the only man in the room at this point. And
right.
I'm like, what am I?
You're like, you don't want to look too aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Galoomph! But the thing is...
Jack's going, shut up, Dad.
Dad, stop. You're embarrassing me. But I've been thinking, I can't get Galoomph or Da Galoomph. Whatever it is, maybe I'm completely wrong. I grew up with Galoomph. Maybe it's changed to Da Galoomph.
I feel like Da Galoomph is like when you feel you're having a bad day.
Yeah,
like,
but
Galoomph.
But Galoomph is a good day.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. 52232955. Maybe parents out there, maybe this is now or maybe this is a long time ago. What nursery rhyme is stuck in your head? Always stuck in your head.
Yeah.
Because every waking moment, I sleep in Galoomphs. I can't escape these little green frogs, Jess.
Tim, you haven't even gotten to the baby shark phase of
parenthood
yet. I feel like
I saw it with a bit of my nephew, and I thought this is a dangerous slope.
Don't even play it once.
No, 52232955. We can have a bit of a sing on the show. There's no shame here. What is a nursery rhyme that you cannot get out of your head? Kim, giving us a call from Bell Post Hill. Kim, did you have a nursery rhyme stuck in your head that you were upset with?
Yes, Incy Wincy Spider. And then I work in childcare and I found at work a book that said Ipsy Whipsy Spider. And I was like, no, that is not it.
Ipsy Whipsy.
Oh, I've heard of the Itsy Witsy.
I've heard of Itsy Bitsy.
Wincy. Oh, no.
We sound insane. Because it's the itsy bitsy spider, crawled up the spout.
It's tiny.
Down came the rain and washed the spider out. And the sun came out and he said, go away. And the itsy bitsy spider did it all again. We haven't got to that one, I'll be honest.
Fair enough.
I agree
with you. It's galoomph.
Right. And if you work in childcare, you're educating the youth. I feel like galoomph is a positive message to get out there.
What the hell is an ipsy-wipsy spider?
Doesn't sound right.
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound right. And I think you should take that book away from the children.
Makes me feel a bit derglumph just even thinking about it, Kim. But
all you, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
I'm not a dog owner. I'm very much a cat person. So I'm going to need your expertise.
Like never in your whole life, your family, like you, I know you, your family, you
grandparents
said they've got cats,
had dogs.
Right.
But no, we've always been a cat family. Yeah. I had a cat since I can remember.
Out of four households, how many do you think are dog households and cat households? Do you think it's 3-1? I would say it's 3-1.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have respect for the cat household. Because
when you're a cat person, you're really a cat person.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like dogs can mingle, right?
Mingle enough, you know. but yeah, I respect the cat family.
Yeah. Look, there's been a video that's gone a bit viral of a husky.
I love huskies. Huskies and Malamutes, they're similar looking dogs.
Yeah.
One of my best friends has got one. And she is the chunkiest monkey.
Are they whiny
the
dogs? Do they often like...
Right. You're like, all right, okay. Hello, Luna. Good to see you too.
This dog in Italy has gone viral because people are saying that the husky has picked up an Italian accent and is whining.
Wow.
In a really
Italian way.
Mamma mia way. And I've got the audio of it.
Oh, so good.
I want you to hear and tell me if you can hear it, because his owner's talking to him in Italian.
So is the dog whining or just kind of doing like those like...
Those things.
Right. So
the rough-roughs.
The rough-roughs. All right. So I'm so excited to hear this. Okay.
Have a listen.
I get vuoi. Rispondi a questi gatti. Bravo, ma che vuoi? Diglielo. che sono cattivi. Dici, tu sei troppo educato. Siediti. Siediti, fai vedere quanto sei educato. E vai, siediti.
At first I was like, no, this is just a dog howling, but that middle bit. I mean, because I think, well, dogs mimic kind of back. So I, with like my dog, Remy, she's a Kelpie Collie. I'll go like, and she'll go.
Do you reckon she's got a bit of a Bogan accent?
I like that. That's
some canine
top quality
experts
stuff.
Have come out of England, Tim, after seeing this video and saying that they've found dogs have regional accents like their owners because their owner's speech influences the way the dog vocalizes.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, you talking to Remy, your dog, would probably give her a bit more of a Bogan Australian accent than, say, this husky.
I don't have a Bogan accent, though, so I don't know where she's got that from. But I agree, she does have one. Because I would like to, I think, like, you know, seeing dogs from all over the world with different accents, like English fancy, like, rough. A rough, rough,
well,
or wrong.
I always look at my cat Penny and wonder what kind of accent she would have.
What comes to mind? Like,
well,
if you pick a country.
She acts so much like, more like she's better than all of us, but I feel like she'd have like a real Bogan accent.
Oh, like maybe she's like from like Brighton in Melbourne or Geelong West.
Feed me, please.
Yes, please. I'm going to Packington Street. And that's only where I shop. I go to the grocers.
I don't live near town.
I don't go to the supermarket.
That is exactly my cat, Benny.
There we go. We figured it out.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
You and I saw something alarming today.
Oh,
It's been a couple of days.
You know, I'm a change man. I'm a change man.
I know that you are.
I know you're very fired up about what we're going to talk about, and that's why we're doing it on this day in particular.
Yes.
We like to do it on a Thursday.
Today, I want to bring to the courtroom of Tim and Jess.
Okay.
Choc chip cookies.
Okay.
Specifically, a new flavour that they are bringing to Subway.
Right. The sandwich shop.
They have brought.
Okay.
It dropped in the last couple of days. Choc mint.
Okay. You don't seem happy.
I'm not happy, Tim.
Well, before you go on a full-blown outburst, do you want to jump into it?
Yes, please.
Let's go.
Tim and Jess.
You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. The courtroom of Tim and Jess, if we're disagreeing on something or someone sent us an argument they're having with their partner, we like to have that argument only on Thursdays. We get someone else to decide who's right. Makes us feel a little bit better about the whole argument.
It means we only fight once a week, Tim.
Yep. Someone else decides, the first person to call through, and they are the judge. It becomes law across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine Peninsula.
Today we're talking Subway.
Right.
I would say that Subway cookies have become just as popular and just as famous as their Subway sandwiches that they provide.
Right. It is a strange, like never in my life after eating a sandwich have I my brain gone, cookie next.
Yeah.
Subway really set the tone.
They really
did. Because
that's
the only treat they offer from memory. But I always remember hearing a rumor, and like, no offense, Subway, if you're listening, I always remember hearing this rumor. It's like one Subway choc chip cookie is the same amount of calories as a Big Mac. And I used to be like, that's crazy.
It feels right, though.
Yeah, they're big cookies. They're big cookies.
And look, Subway cookies, whether you're a double chocolate chip or just a standard chocolate chip, raspberry cheesecake, white chip, macadamia nut,
right.
There's plenty of iconic flavors.
But they've pretty much had the same five for a decade now, right?
They decided to release a new one this year, just in time for Christmas. It's limited time only,
okay.
Thank goodness. Choc mint.
Now, Jess, We've recently had a conversation where we need to start respecting mint a bit more.
I just don't wanna.
Oh, I hadn't considered.
And look, in doing some research for today's courtroom, Tim, I've discovered an amount. Apparently someone has tallied up how many Subway cookies are sold each year across both Australia and New Zealand. How many cookies across both countries do you think are sold every year?
20,000?
Oh, you are so far off.
So far off? What are we going?
53.6 million.
All right, so that's two for every Australian.
53.6 million cookies are sold across Australia and New Zealand every single year.
I know you and I personally don't like choc mint.
Yeah.
But we understand that it is popular to a large demographic of people.
They could have brought out any other flavour.
This is what I think it is. I reckon you got so excited because you read new cookie at Subway, and then the deflating thing is that it's just a flavour you don't like.
Yes, 100%. Because right. I was ready. Okay. I was ready to run on over and grab myself a cookie today.
But no.
Hurt feelings is what I've got.
Okay.
Choc mint. Why even bother?
Remember, we've spoken about the versatility of mint, that we don't think it gets enough respect. As much as I don't like choc mint as a flavour, I now respect it. And because, you know, my life isn't, like, this isn't just about me.
Yeah.
This is about everyone. And if more people like choc mint than what I deem to be okay, that's fine. Everyone's running their own race, mate. If you love choc mint, that's for you. And I'm happy to stand by choc mint today.
52232955. Give us a call. First caller through is the judge. They have the final say, Tim. When it comes to choc mint cookies at Subway, are you for them or should they not have bothered bringing out a cookie altogether? Michaela from Lara. Good afternoon, Your Honour.
Afternoon.
Now, Michaela, Subway cookies, have you been a fan of them for a long time?
Love Subway cookies.
Okay,
love.
Good. That's yeah. So you're an experienced judge. That's what we need on this case.
You're not a sandwich chef yourself, are you, Michaela?
No, I'm not actually. I don't really cook much.
Okay. I mean,
but I can cook.
Okay, well, that's good. That's how I feel,
okay.
Michaela. But I'm not 16, so I think you're more impressive than what I am now. Because you are the judge today, it all comes down to you with cookies being choc mint flavoured. Is it okay? Is it a yay or a nay from you, Michaela?
Look, personally, I love choc mint. And I feel like it's a yay.
Oh, wow. Oh. There was a butt coming there, Michaela.
But there could be better flavours at Subway. Yeah, no, that's what I was waiting for. But you agree. Are you, like, off to Subway now, Michaela, to grab yourself a choc chip cookie?
No, I'm actually on my way home from school.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Fair enough.
Had a feeling.
Fair enough.
So, Michaela, we appreciate you being the judge today. It becomes law across Geelong Surf Coast, Bellarine Peninsula. Maybe tomorrow, Jess, I'll force feed you a choc chip mint cookie. How does that feel? I had to say it slow because it was too many short words.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Michaela, Your Honour, thank you very, very much. There you go, Jess. Okay.
Can we get like a bundle and I can get like some decent flavours as well?
No, because then you just get what you want and you've had enough of that already in your life.
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
We talk about Taylor Swift a lot on this radio station.
Yep.
This radio show.
We're a media outlet. We try and talk about the most popular things going on in the world.
She's pretty huge.
She just keeps being popular and people love her.
She just keeps breaking every single record there is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not surprisingly, lots of news outlets are trying to make headlines.
Anything she does, they're on it, right?
Absolutely, because Swifties love a story about Taylor Swift.
I mean, the fact that she's coming to Australia doing some stadium shows, is it two MCG shows she's
she
doing?
She is, yes.
You're going to one
I
of them?
I think there might have even been another one added. I think wow. There's three MCG shows.
That's a lot of shows for one person. So the last female to headline an MCG show was Madonna, and this was like in the 80s or 90s, I'm pretty sure. So it's been a very, very long time.
Well, there was a story I saw today that made me go, we've run out of stories to write about Taylor Swift.
You think it's just kind of like now it's all right. Like, get it, you good.
Taylor Swift gets her hair done.
Okay.
Taylor Swift wore an outfit. Like, we're getting to a point now where everything that can be said about Taylor has been said.
Okay.
And so I clicked on this article and I was like, I hate that I've been done in by this.
Oh, you've been bamboozled.
So this article stated Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Uses new nickname for Taylor. And I went,
Now her boyfriend.
What is he calling her?
Her boyfriend is an NFL player.
Yes.
Travis Kelce. Plays for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. He does a podcast with his brother where he often talks about his relationship with Taylor.
As you would.
So I'm assuming they're getting quite a few clicks.
Okay.
Now.
Right.
So I was like, okay, what does he call Taylor Swift?
Why do you care though?
Well, because like it's interesting to know, right? Like me and my partner have pet names for one another. Like,
what are they?
Do you have pet names for you?
My wife is her name's Jess as well.
Yeah.
Mostly it'll be like hun.
Sure.
Hey hun.
Yeah.
Hun,
we go with cutie. Cuties.
Say it how you say it.
Cutie.
Cutie. Cutie, my car.
This is what I mean.
I need to fill my car with petrol, cutie. Can you do it?
Is Taylor Swift getting called cutie? Is she getting babe?
Is it a pet name or is it like hey Tay, Tails, Tatoes?
Tim, you hit the nail on the head.
What is it?
He calls Taylor Swift Tay. Seven outlets wrote an article about that. Seven.
So is it just on the podcast? He was like, yeah, so I was catching up with Tay the other day.
Yeah, I was hanging out with Tay. And everyone was like, oh my God, he calls her Tay. He calls her Tay.
Imagine it. So like, let's.
Does it, what?
Like, I have like a pet name for you at work.
Yeah.
Imagine if there was articles that would be like, Tim calls Jess Plugger behind closed doors. And that was going around on the Geelong Advertiser at the moment.
This is what I mean. We've run out of things to talk about.
Yeah,
honestly, genuinely. And I was so upset that I got done in by the clickbait.
Where was the article, though?
Well, the one I read was on news.com.au. Ah. So I should have known better, honestly.
Never trust.
Yeah.
Never trust the internet.
Yeah.
Anyway, Plugger, you know what? It's maybe we should stop talking about Tay.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
In the lead up to my wedding, I feel like I talk about it too much, but I'm very excited.
Hey,
it's all consuming.
As you keep saying, you hope it's the only one.
Fingers crossed.
You know, there's lots. If you've ever planned a wedding, there's all these nitty bitty gritty bits that you've got to get into. And you've got a venue, right? How much are they doing? Like, do they organise like all the small things like plates, tables,
yes,
all that. That's
they
so
do
mean.
Everything.
Okay.
I didn't want because we looked at a couple of venue spaces that were like, oh, you have to bring your own catering, your own drinks, and I was like, nah. I want a place where I know I'm going to rock up, mm-hmm. and I know everything's going to happen.
Great.
But there has been a bit of an influencer who's gone viral this week because of her wedding, and some people are saying that she used her wedding and all the events leading up to her wedding to become an influencer.
How? What?
Well, because her wedding, Tim, apparently has cost a little bit more than the average. You were saying last week the average Australian wedding is going for about $30,000.
I think it's $33,000 or $36,000. Yeah. It's cheaper than it's been for a long time in Australia.
Yeah, she spent about $59 million. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was my reaction too. Just
what?
$59 million, and that includes her very extravagant bridal shower and hens weekends. It includes all of the, it's all pretty much happening over in Europe at the moment. Mm. She's also hired not only a photographer and a videographer, but she hired a social media person for the day to get wedding content.
So she's not an influencer at the start of this process.
She wasn't. No, she had almost no followers.
But so I imagine they were like, hey, to the social media person, film it all, chuck it all online,
yeah,
get it trending.
And a lot of people have made that happen. So I want to talk about her bachelorette party.
How do you, $59 million, where do you get it from? Where do you get the money from?
I don't know. This is what everyone's trying to figure out. Her dad apparently is like a really big deal car salesman in America.
He's actually Volve from Volvo.
I don't know. I think he like sells like high-end luxury cars.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
But still, $59 million seems like a lot. And then her partner, everyone's like, oh, maybe they're getting money from him. No one's not sure what he's been doing or what he's up to. But this is like, it's honestly so over the top. So her bachelorette party was in Paris. So first of all, they went to a private lunch in Chanel where her and her guests made their own Chanel bags. She paid for all of it. They stayed in a 5-star resort. And then they also spent a night at the Palace of Versailles. Didn't even know could do that.
What's the Palace of Versailles?
Just like where Marie Antoinette and like the royal family of France lived before their demise.
My French royalty is not up to scratch
these
days.
It's a big palace, Tim. Okay, it's a palace. Very big deal.
So has it made you, you know, planning your wedding, has it made you rethink a couple of things you want to do? Like what's your bachelorette or hen's night looking like, Jess?
We're doing a winery tour.
You start crying halfway through there.
And then my shower is at my mum's house.
Right. So not the Palace of Versailles.
Not the Palace of Versailles.
At the winery, do you get to make your own Chanel bags?
We do not, no.
Right, okay.
But even the wedding has just been this like horrible display of wealth, just like so much money. And her guest gift registry, like the cheapest item on there was like in a few hundreds of dollars. Like, going up into like the thousands.
Chairs. Hundreds. Yeah. We've spoke about this yesterday. That's the, she's like, if you could just get me one chair, that'd be $500.
So I showed this to my fiance and I was like, hey, I know that you think we're, you know, going over budget and we're spending too much in this wedding, but could be $59 million. Yeah. I'm saving you money.
I mean,
that's girl math.
It is girl math. So what was the name of the castle?
Oh, the Palace of Versailles.
So you could, Palace of Versailles. Mm. That's fine. Werribee Mansion on the other hand.
See? Saving money.
There we go. It's the same thing, essentially, Asterix.
Goodbye! Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best! Goodbye! Goodbye!
Tim and Jess. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.